This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle reading, Romans chapter 5 verses 1 to 11. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word lift us up so that we may stand before you innocent and live in the freedom that this gives, trusting that even our suffering will produce hope. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get straight into the beginning of the reading for today. St. Paul writes, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God." Now, the first word in today's epistle reading is therefore. This is part of a longer argument that Paul is making. St. Paul has just been talking about Abraham, our father in the faith, that Abraham received a free promise from God that he would be the father of many nations. Abraham trusted this promise. He simply put his confidence in what God had promised for him, and thereby lived in a right relationship with God. We know that at a human level, we can't have good relationships with people if there's no trust. Even at a human level, there needs to be trust if there are to be well-ordered relationships. How much more at a divine level? Abraham, the father in the faith, trusted God's promises. Now, St. Paul is saying that we ourselves are children of Abraham because we have received the promises of God in Christ Jesus. We are made righteous by Christ, who is handed over to death for our sins, and we are justified by him who was raised for us. Now, these are unusual words, righteous and justified, and let's think about them very briefly today with a picture which can help us understand. The picture is the picture of the courtroom. Most of us here, I think, can picture a courtroom. There's the accused in the dock, the judge on the bench, and there is the law brought to bear against the accused. And then there is the impending verdict. The verdict will either be not guilty, innocent, free, righteous in other words, or it will be guilty, condemned, unrighteous. This is the picture of the courtroom. We know about this at a human level. And God also gives us this sort of picture and this sort of language to help us think about our relationship with himself. The scriptures urge us to think this way when we put ourselves before God. There is a divine courtroom. God is on the bench. We are in the dock. And the right law is brought to bear against us. This is a courtroom where all secrets are revealed, where the facts are known, where there is no hiding behind clever argument. There can be no excuses made by a lawyer who's skilled. We are open, if you like, almost with our throats bared before God. Now, this is a very threatening image if we take it seriously. And God gives us this imagery in these words to think about our lives realistically, spiritually. And if we stood in the dock alone, this picture would only be bad news for us. A picture that would give us no hope and that we would not want to think about. Our first parents ran away from God when this judgment was looming. How much more would we? Again, if we were alone. But God's word makes very clear to us that we are not alone in the dock, that there with us is Christ, and God's verdict on him is innocent, not guilty, righteous. Because we stand with Christ and we put our trust in him, not our own ability to keep the law, we can know that we leave from the divine judgment scene declared innocent, not guilty, in fact, in a right relationship with God. This is at the heart of the gospel, This is the message that God wills that we believe and live by. And with this message comes great freedom and, in fact, a transformed way of living. A way of living that's so transformed that it can even make our suffering appear under a very different light. Before we look at that, though, just note one more thing. This courtroom scene can also help us think differently about God. Sometimes, as human beings, we can feel very angry towards God. We can think, well, we didn't ask for existence. We didn't ask to be sinners. We didn't ask to fall under the just condemnation of the law. It can seem like God is out to get us. But this scenario of the courtroom, of God's declaring us innocent in Christ, also shows us that God is righteous, that God is just. He is not out to condemn sinners, but to save them. He goes all the way to giving up his own son for this. So this picture, this biblical picture, using scriptural language, helps us understand not just ourselves or our relationship with God. It also helps us understand who God is. Now, in the Romans text, St. Paul immediately brings out the implications of what this means, even when it comes to our suffering. In life, when we suffer, our first thinking can be that we are suffering because of the wrong that we have done. I certainly have felt this way in my life, and I imagine that many, perhaps most of you, have also felt this. Sometimes we can see a clear connection between our poor choices and the suffering which has resulted from it. And sometimes, if we meditate only on this, it can make us feel hopeless in the face of suffering, that we are simply receiving just punishment from God for what we've done. It can, of course, even get worse, especially if we are angry at God and will God's non-existence. Then, if we want to push God away and not even think about God, the suffering becomes meaningless, with no end in sight to it. It's a hellish sort of place to be, just punishment or meaningless suffering. But the text, God's word, gives us a different way of thinking as innocent people, righteous people, when we face suffering. Listen to what St. Paul writes. And not only that, not only do we boast in the hope of sharing God's glory, because we leave the courtroom not just free in Christ, but sharing in his glorious gifts. Not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We do well when we trust that we suffer in Christ as righteous people, and that our suffering is not simply punishment or meaningless, but God is at work even there. Now, we can see in our world that sometimes suffering does indeed produce character, endurance, hope, this sort of thing. I think we can see it clearly in the sporting scene, where people often go through a lot of suffering to build up endurance, to get the character of athletes, and to win races, to win competitions. We see the progression there in our world when it comes to sport. And I think this can also help us understand our suffering as Christian people, as people who are right with God, as people who are in Christ declared innocent, who are righteous in the courtroom of God, and indeed sharing in the glory of Christ. God will not leave our suffering simply as punishment or as meaningless, but will build us through it, give us the gift of endurance, shape our characters, and even fill us with hope. There is a goal to our suffering, and it's the gift of life in Christ. I myself would never choose suffering, and I would not, as a pastor, recommend that you choose suffering. But as Christians, we have to acknowledge that it's often through suffering, yes, as righteous people, that God grows us in love and brings us to perfection in Christ. This is a message from Scripture that we can speak to each other and encourage each other with. This is not Pollyanna-ish. It acknowledges the reality of suffering. It's also a message that acknowledges that we often need to help each other because we bear burdens that are very heavy. But as God's people, we are never in this alone. We are in this together. Now, so that we are in no doubt about our status as righteous people, St. Paul, at the end of today's reading, really lays it on thick. So that we're in no doubt, in case we think this may be too good to be true, listen to what St. Paul writes. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Now think about this. We were born without trust in God, without fear of God. Our natural disposition towards God is not looking to God for good, but being suspicious and even hateful to our Creator. Did God simply condemn us because of this when we were his enemies? By no means. This is how God treats his enemies. He sends his own Son to die for them, to pay their debt, to wash the mess they have made, to give them the status as sons and daughters. This is what God our Father does to us as enemies. Now that we have been reconciled in Christ, we can be sure that God will do everything that we need for us to bring us to our heavenly home. Not simply forgiveness, not simply not guilty, but life in the household of God, in the royal court, sons and daughters of the King. There's beautiful gospel in the Romans reading. In Christ, in that dock of God, with him, we stand innocent. We leave the courtroom righteous, more than righteous, sharing in the glory of God, because all that's Christ's is ours. Even our suffering is transformed by him.